This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Julian Ng and Kusu Chuang here with me. 7:45 right now. Coming up on The Breakfast Grill, we will commemorate the 25th anniversary of Sudirman, Datuk Sudirman Arshad, who passed away today, 25 years ago. And we want to commemorate this date by reflecting on the state of our local music industry. Today on The Breakfast Grill, Darren Choi, chairman of the Recording Industry Association of Malaysia, will join us to share his insights and hopes for the future of the local music scene. So that's coming up shortly.
So this is interesting because everyone wants to pay cheaply for whatever music or entertainment they're listening to. I mean, Spotify charges 15 ringgit a month for all the music in the world that you can get. But
some artists are not on the Spotify.
Well, your taste might be a little slightly esoteric, Chuang.
Are you talking about Taylor Swift?
Yeah, Taylor Swift famously not on the Spotify thing.
But, not on his playlist.
But the impact to the artists, because they're not paying more, and the trend is that people are going to these kind of sources for their listening entertainment. What will happen to the artists, and what would happen to the future of song composition in Malaysia, music writing in Malaysia?
Yeah, especially since the Malaysia market is only so big, right? You have to go beyond the Malaysian market if you really want to gain any kind of success as a Malaysian artist, as we've seen in the cases of, say, Yuna, for instance, who's gotten international acclaim. Okay, more on the local music scene on The Breakfast Grill at 8 o'clock. But first, coming back to the local business headlines of the day, the CEO of Petronas, Datuk Wan Zulkifli, says that he is expecting Petronas to post lower revenue for 2016 when it reports its financial results in March. Now, he's saying this because of the plunge in crude oil prices. If you compare, in 2015, Petronas reported a revenue of 248 billion.
And Petronas also said that their margins would improve in 2016. I guess they have taken some preemptive measures in the form of Project Cactus, where they cut expenses by about 14% and they fired a lot of people, let go of about 2,300 people, but they still have about 51,000 employees, 11,000 of which are coming from overseas market, where Petronas has a web of international operations.
I guess it's so-called Cactus because it is prickly on the
spiky
outside, but liquid and squidgy on the inside. No, in terms of what Petronas has done, you know, some might say it's been quite savage this last couple of years, but it's actually been quite good in terms of making, you know, oil and gas companies and oil and gas services companies much more efficient, because it's really made us rethink the whole strategy. And if you know, Malaysia wants to take a longer-term approach to the energy sector, the last two or three years have been quite constructive in terms of how it's made us more streamlined and more efficient. Mm-hmm. And it set us up quite nicely for 2017, because we see now that West Texas is about $53, Brent is about 50, 55, 56 bucks. It's coming back. And people reckon now that 60, 65 bucks per barrel is entirely possible. We see that the OPEC production, you know, the supply boys are kind of getting their act together. The supply, the oversupply issue with inventory is thinning out, and so it's all pointing to quite a nice 2017, and we're much more efficient going to the new year. It's going to be quite good for earnings this time next year.
But we also have to be quite mindful of the potential supply that can come out of the United States,
Americans, yeah,
and the fact that Donald Trump is very supportive of industry and corporate over there. So this may spur the big oil companies to produce more. And nevertheless, in the last two or three years, we've seen the dwindling of a lot of inefficient players.
Yeah,
it's been pulled out of the market. And yet, the Petronas chief is saying that there is still a lot of oversupply in the domestic oil and gas industry, oversupply in vessels, oversupply in fabrication of yards. So that's something to look out for locally, in spite of more positive trajectory internationally.
Well, he's saying that the consolidation is not happening fast enough. And I wonder whether he has a point, because if you do look at the market, there's about, 3,000 odd companies, oil and gas companies at the moment registered with Petronas alone. They're all vying for the same kind of contracts. But if you look in other markets, Norway, for instance, it's just a fraction of that, 700 or so companies. So perhaps what Petronas is saying, consolidate faster, the oil and gas industry, consolidate faster. But now that oil prices are picking up, I wonder whether that's actually going to happen.
And also whether this pickup in oil prices will have a positive impact on the government coffers, because we know that Petronas has a huge contribution to our budgetary revenues. In the past, they provided about 70-80 billion ringgit, and it's fallen to about 30 billion ringgit so far.
Yeah, I'm going to make a couple of points here. I mean, in terms of Petronas' vendor system, it's still quite quite considerable compared to other national oil corporations. I think Petronas has got something got about 2,500 to 3,000 vendors within the ecosystem. This is something I'm going to be raising with DNV tomorrow. DNV, of course, is the world's largest certifier, and they basically classify energy sector guys, maritime sector guys, and power guys. So they basically say whether you're safe, you're efficient, you're sustainable, okay, and so on and so forth. So this is one thing I want to raise with them. The other thing that the energy price slump has actually helped us from a constructive point of view is government revenue, our government expenditure, because it's made us rethink how much we spend, relook at the civil service. And a few days ago when the second finance minister suggested that we had a bloated civil service, well, maybe that was a precursor to a more efficient civil service and fewer fringe benefits, which are quite good for pensioners if you are a civil servant. So this made us really relook at our cost structure, just like a good company.
Okay, so change in mindset is what you're saying,
John.
Well, let's see whether this change lasts.
Hopefully
when
later.
The good times come back.
Yeah, and then we'll just see another round of hires and another round of big infrastructure projects.
Well, speaking about Petronas Chemicals have posted a really strong set of results for the financial year of 2016. Their earnings came in at 2.9 billion ringgit, following a pickup in revenue and a boost from the fourth quarter. Now, we have on the line with us right now Datuk Sazali Hamza, the CEO of Petronas Chemicals, to discuss the latest results. Good morning, Datuk.
Yeah, good morning, Julian.
Melissa here. So,
Melissa, sorry.
Yes. So, looking at your results now, net profit soared 40% year on year on the back of better sales volume and also the weakening ringgit. But the question is, Datuk, if this is sustainable going forward?
No doubt that 2016 is actually the worst challenge that we are facing. If you look at the average, the dated Brent, the average price for the year is about $44 as compared to 2015, which is $52. And that have a direct knock-on impact of our average product price, which is 15% lower, or close to 15.8 actually, is 15% lower than 2015. So what we have done in the last 3 years is basically to make sure that our operational efficiency is established solid, and thanks to our team as well as collaboration with upstream and also our gas production plan, we managed to sustain a good result. And because of that, when we have established this strong operational performance, I believe that we should be able to sustain for the future years.
Dato, what is the correlation of oil prices to your petrochemical margins?
Okay, if you look at our feedstock price, it's related to a gas price. Relatively, our contract with Petronas, which is the supplier of the gas, remain the same. There will be slight change based on the market price. However, our product price is pegged with naphtha price, which have directly correlated with that crude price. And because of that, whenever the price of crude price down, then our product price will be lower. That means our margin will be lower. So if the crude price is increased, then it's directly correlated also. The product will slowly increase. But there is some buffer impact probably between 3 to 6 months to see the effects happen.
Dato, can you just say something about the rapid project which PChem is involved in? Some comments were made by Dato Wan Zulkifli yesterday that Saudi Aramco was never part of that project. And this has been hailed as a lifeline for the oil and gas sector. Are you still positive about rapid's potential?
Definitely, because what I've seen rapid is that this is the next growth for PCG beyond gas reserve that we have. We need to turn into liquid. And rapid will provide a very good foundation for our chemical and polymer derivative growth. So looking at all those investment that we have ventured in, we expect a good return for that, and we have a very good prospect, mainly because it's related to the growth of chemical and polymer requirement in Southeast Asia as well as Asia-Pacific region.
Thank you so much. That was Datuk Sazali Hamzah, CEO of Petronas Chemicals, discussing the latest results. We're looking at a strong set of results, but we'll see how this is going forward, especially as crude oil prices are seeing a pickup in this past month or so. But let's move on from the oil and gas industry to the banking industry, because Hong Leong Bank also announced their results. Now, Hong Leong is the fifth largest banking group in Malaysia. They reported a 60% rise in net profit yesterday. This commentators are now saying perhaps this signals the worst is over for the local banking sector.
Interestingly, the CEO, Dominic Fuda, said that stronger growth for 2017 will be supported by infrastructural spending, commodities, as well as the pickup in the oil and gas sector, which I think is quite different from the tone that Petronas has set, that the industry has a degree of oversupply right now. But I guess banks in general focus on the higher quality oil and gas players and not really subject to those who are inefficient, and therefore that explains his optimism.
Well, exactly. I mean, the Edge Daily going with the fact that, you know, Dominic Fueda saying that the bottom has passed for the local banking sector. In terms of net interest margins for at least Hong Leong Bank, has risen for, he's revised the bank's net interest margin target for FY17 to at least 2% from 1.9% originally. So it does seem as if banks are going to be making more money from their loan base.
Also, my favorite proxy for the economy, which is the loan growth. If you look at the quarterly trend for Hong Leong Bank, it has come off from almost 10% in the second quarter of financial year 2016 to bottom at about 4% for the first quarter of 2017. So this is the lowest in 1 year, and 4% is extremely low. But they are expecting second quarter loan growth to pick up a little bit to 4.6%. So the question is whether the first quarter was the very bottom for the banking sector.
So, but what would drive loans growth, though, Jules? I mean, what could cause this kind of optimism that loans growth could pick up?
See, that's the interesting question, right? It's a lot of economic activity. And we've seen that sentiment has been so poor in 2016. And we look at all these PMI and consumer confidence index, and they have not reflected anything to be positive about. So going forward, the question is whether government the government would have to pick up on things like infrastructural spending could calm down on the letting go of staff. Perhaps we've seen the worst being over for Malaysia, and perhaps the pickup of the economy in the US as well.
Well, can I just say that Malaysia's growth has been range-bound between 4.5% to 5.5% to 6% in the last, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years, whereas in its heyday, maybe 3 years ago, loans growth was in the region of, for the industry as well, for about 14-15%. So, you know, banks have been lending at a rate that is at least twice as fast as the country's growth, which is why now we've got household debt at about 90%, highest in the region. So, you know, at some point in time, you know, reality has got to set in. And I'm not sure whether, you know, we should be so cognizant or aggressive in terms of driving bank loans growth, because there has got to be some give. And right now at 90%, it's not giving at all.
Right.
And now we've got Prima coming onto the market. We've got something like a quarter of a million homes, you know, ready for completion. Not sure whether that's entirely the right strategy.
Okay, we've got the Breakfast Grill coming up after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Tan Chung Han will be speaking to Darren Choi, the chairman of the Recording Industry Association of Malaysia. Again, we are commemorating the 25th death anniversary of a great artist of Malaysia, Datuk Sudirman Arshad. So make sure you stay tuned for that on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.